From sports to leisure activities, from travel to dining out, from the neighbourhoods of Dublin to walks in the park. Dublin City FM.
The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green-fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
Did I say it would grow on you? I did. It's 103.2 Dublin City FM Sod Show. Our thanks to Aisling on News and Jerry with the music. Some wonderful melodies. I think Jerry's show is like, do you remember Lucky Bags?
Yes, it's also Peter in studio with Brian.
You don't know what you're going to get in it. It's Peter Donegan and Brian Green on The Sod Show, number 39. And good afternoon to you. How was your week?
Yeah, good, Brian. Yeah, contrary with the weather, but that's always been the case. Welcome to Ireland. I knew that before I went to study horticulture. I knew it after.
Any news from the world of landscaping that you'd like to bring our way?
Well, first of all, in the world of landscaping, may I give a note out to those involved in Movember. Movember, of course, is the campaign where for the month of November, spelt with an M, the males, the Mo Bros and the Mo Sisters get to grow a moustache to raise awareness for men's health, in particular prostate cancer, where we are reminded, I have to say, by Marty Whelan in one of the videos that the Movember lads did. One in eight, my apologies, of us males will end up or will result with that. So if you're looking for more information on that, you can head to my own page, which is mobro.co/Peter Donegan. And that's the easiest one for me to remember, obviously. And there'll be a lot more information there. Outside of that, and to trees, you remember we were talking about an interview we have on the horizon with my good friend Finbar, who I went to college with.
Christmas trees.
Well, I put out a poll on the blog, that's blog.donaganlandscaping.com, and I asked this year my Christmas tree will be dot dot dot, and the options were a real or felled tree, an artificial tree, or a potted or live or growing tree. What do you think the results were?
I think that people are going plastic.
30% said artificial.
Okay.
Do you think, left out of the two, a real or a felled tree, or a potted or a live growing tree, what do you reckon? With the balance?
Potted.
70% said felled, 0% said growing and live.
Ooh. Finbar will have some news for people on that. Don't buy your Christmas tree, and have a listen to our show coming up soon on that.
Yeah, well, the big thing you got to remember, Brian, is, and I know it hit RTE News recently, but some say there is a point where the growers put out a note year on year on year saying that there is a shortage of trees and, you know, buy it early, etc., etc., etc. The other side of it, I suppose, is that they're also saying this year that there is a shortage of Christmas trees. And the reasoning behind it, from me talking to those I know in the trade, is twofold. What they're saying is during the boom years, or what we call the boom years, we didn't plant any trees, or we didn't plant as many. And it takes about 8 years to get a Christmas tree to grow to the heights that we require it at to put into our homes. That's the big thing. And that is before you hit the minus 20 Celsius or minus 18 that we had this time last year.
I saw a piece on the news during the week on 6-1, and they're growing them here in Ireland, exporting to the UK, but they're coming under attack from thieves. People are going and felling themselves and robbing trees because of, you know, the
debt. It's always been a case, Brian, but you're talking prices this year, they reckon, or one reckons, or from, again, me talking within the trade, is tipping above the €35 point and possibly heading towards the €70 based on supply versus demand.
You started a meme a couple of weeks back about ugly veg, but you've started another one now out in the Twittersphere and the blogosphere about plastic flowers in restaurants.
Hey, okay, so here's what happened. Yesterday, I was at home, I was doing design work. When you're drawing one-dimensional lines on a piece of paper and you're only talking to yourself in botanical Latin, the odd time your cranium swells, or at least mine does, you know, the brains are trying to get out. I decided to escape the office and get out for a cup of coffee. Don't be laughing at me. Here's what happened. I walked in and there was that. People listening should identify with this. Everybody had that auntie, or at least I knew one of, or know somebody who did, who had those red, that faded to transparent pink plasticky flowers, and the yellow used to be bright orange. They weren't, and they were about 30 years old and collected dust, and they were on the tables, and I kind of went, you know, come on, seriously. And I left the coffee shop and I queried, as versus the coffee, the plate, sorry, the last place I had coffee in was a place called Killian's Pub in the Knoll. In there recently, there was very simply a glass vase with a little bit of what I can only describe as wild ivy, and what you might describe also as a daisy-like flower. Very, very simple. Didn't cost a lot of money. Not expensive. But the effort had been made to put real live flowers on the table. And I queried, hold on a sec, some might perceive this as an overhead. Some might see it as, you know, requires more time, etc., 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 etc. So I said, well, look, why don't we, as the Sod Show, put the word out there in the street, try and find a coffee shop that does that, goes and makes that little bit of an extra effort, and ask them to come on the show and explain to us.
Or better still, we'll go to them and get a nice cup of coffee and a muffin and record it in there.
We'll go to them, because the funny thing is within all of that, what you have is people who have live flowers on their tables just about 52 weeks of the year, which includes winter.
Okay, short for time, we've got to go to this week's interview.
Oh yes, yeah, it's self-explanatory. I say let it roll and hopefully you enjoy it. So I'm sitting upstairs in the Loft Bookshop with thanks to Rob for the use of his premises, and I'm talking to Lucy Bell. Lucy, I suppose the easiest way to ask this, or the easiest way for you to give me this information, is why am I talking to you, or how did I get talking to you?
Well, I met you in the Science Gallery and we got talking, and I work in environmental education. So I'm a gardener, but I also work in schools, setting up school gardens. So very much into teaching children how to grow food.
I didn't just walk up to you randomly in the Science Gallery and say, hello, you have a lovely jumper on, can I talk to you on a radio show? It wasn't like that, just to clarify.
No, I was working. We were talking about the Surface Tension, which is the show that's on in the Science Gallery at the moment.
They were on the radio show actually last week, is the answer. Lucy, you're one of the brains behind a book called Year Round Organic School Garden. Can you explain to me what that is about and how that all came about?
Yeah. So I used to work in Kerry with Kerry Earth Education Project. We have been working for years developing kind of gardens and schools, going in kind of working with teachers, trying to enable them to kind of set up vegetable patch, kind of different habitats like woodlands, orchards, that kind of thing. The feedback we were getting from teachers all the time was that they felt like they didn't have enough knowledge to kind of just be able to do it themselves. So we just kind of started recording the work that we were doing, and we applied for a grant through the Heritage Council, and we got a grant to write a book. Yeah, I just got to a stage in life where, to me, to know where your food came from was really important. Kind of, I suppose, when you get talking to people, no one kind of seems to know how to grow food anymore. It just used to be like an old, was the norm years ago, not even like 50 years ago, everyone used to grow a bit of veg, and then suddenly nobody was growing it anymore. They were just growing grass. So it's more about just getting people growing their own food, and especially kids, especially having worked in the city, like kids don't, starting to like not realize where their food is coming from, or they don't know like where, you know, where milk in the shops comes from, or they don't know actually like where strawberries come from. So IOFCA, the Irish Organic Farmers and Growers Association, would be one of the official organizations, and we actually, you know, we were kind of talking to them about getting a school's organic label, and for that we would, like we were saying, it would be really, really simple. You know, there'll be six things that the school has to do to make it organic. And the main thing you're talking about is not using any chemicals. Mm-hmm. And I, on a really simple level, I don't think you should be using chemicals around kids anyway. Okay, so especially if you're going to be growing really lovely, healthy food, why put chemicals into it? So, you know, the organic label does have, there's a whole funny kind of thing going on there. And I know on the official level, it's really, really strict. I think keep it on a really simple level, just, you know, growing your own food, accessing as kind of things as naturally as possible, like manure, just not using chemicals, and then just, I suppose, the basic kind of thing of linking in with nature. So, you know, planting a few trees so you can bring in a few good bugs to do the work for you instead of having to use chemicals. So
for teachers who do get their hands on this book, you were saying to me that the whole reasoning behind was to give teachers who wanted to make a start but who didn't have that knowledge of gardening there. Can you give me a little bit more info on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, a lot of people wouldn't approach doing gardening with kids because they think they don't have any kind of gardening knowledge. So in the book, what we tried to do was make it really, really clear and simple so they can literally pick up the book, pick a project and be able to do it in the classroom. So we've kept it literally down. You know, we've picked, there's two kind of different focuses. There's one is kind of redesigning the school grounds. So it's trying to get teachers to look at the school grounds from a different perspective. So not just seeing it as concrete and something that has to be tidied up. So seeing where the trees are, you know, finding a nice spot for your vegetable patch, finding a little spot that you can kind of leave wild. So getting them to look at the grounds in a different way, redesigning it, and then giving them different projects they can do at different times of year. So literally, say, for example, in the spring, they want to set up their vegetable patch. There's a page that literally says, you need this bit of wood, you need these nails, you know, how to take the kids out and be able to work with them in the garden. So literally, if you haven't got a clue, you can look at it and go, okay, well, this month I should be planting the potatoes, or this month I should be planting the trees. So I would even say, even if you only got a tiny space, you can still get an amazing amount of different things in. And the whole point is that the kids are just seeing it grow from seed. They can still be growing the seeds in the classroom, and they still get to see it grow from like seed to plant, and then they get to taste it. So
quick fire around, top plant to attract butterflies.
In terms of a general bush, it's the plant called a buddleia.
Top plant to attract birds.
God, you're asking really hard questions right now. Birds, okay. Well, birds like the sunflower for the seeds. Anything that goes to seed. So there's like calendula, which would be like a kind of a marigold, but you can also eat them. So some of those interesting ones. They love the seeds on that. They love the seeds on the sunflower.
Top tree that children will appreciate?
Willow. Because it's one of the most interesting ones. It's got really interesting history because like the bark is used for aspirin. You know, so people used to chew it as a painkiller. You can make baskets from it. We've made lots of lovely like living willow domes and archways and stuff in schools made from willow. So it's one of the most like useful. And it's native. It's really, really old. And it like supports several hundred different kind of insects. And
top plant that somebody living in Dublin city centre with only a window ledge should grow?
I would grow couldn't come again lettuce, so which is rocket, mizuna, mustard leaf, and they're one of those brilliant ones where you literally sprinkle the seed, throw a tiny amount of compost on top, they come up in about a week, and then you can cut them and eat them, and they come back again and again and again.
Same question in December, January, February.
You can still grow the same exact same ones, actually.
If you had a 2-year-old child and a 4-year-old child, which would be the park that you would bring them to first, should you have your choice, and why?
Oh, do you know what's fantastic? The Phoenix Park, actually, because it also has this amazing walled garden now and an amazing organic vegetable patch in the corner, which is fantastic.
If you're bringing somebody on a romantic stroll, but you secretly wanted to convert them to a grow-your-own freak, how would you manage to do that, and what park would you pick?
I'm going all Dublin-based here for some reason, which is I can only think of. But I would go to the Botanic Gardens because it has an amazing, you know, it's got all the beautiful romantic walks. It's got all that. And then you can just sneak them into the little corner, old wall garden where they have an amazing organic vegetable patch growing now.
What's your own garden like?
It's actually, I'm in a kind of an estate. So I have a slightly larger than normal estate garden. And what I've done is like a mini bit of everything. So I have a little fruit area, I've got a little mini woodland, I've got a mini native hedgerow, I've got a mini veg patch, so I've done a little bit of everything.
How mini is your garden?
Well, maybe it's not that mini, but it honestly, it's like a big, big estate back garden.
So Rob from the Loft Bookshop, just above Twisted Pepper, has jumped in on the conversation, partly because this is a very easy one, Rob. Rob, can you describe your garden at this moment in time?
I don't have a garden at this moment in time, although the apartment where I live, we do have some window boxes on the balcony, and the only thing that's still alive in them at the moment is some little fir trees, but they do have a tendency to turn brown this time of year, which I didn't think they were supposed to do. I thought they were supposed to be evergreen.
How come you're not a garden enthusiast, Rob?
I think like a lot of people, I never made the time to garden, although I did briefly last year have a little experimental potted vegetable garden, which started off really enthusiastically, and we did tomatoes, we did couldn't come again lettuce like you were talking about, we tried some root vegetables, we tried some carrots, but all we had, because the garden itself was just a gravel yard, so we had to use the biggest planters and stuff we could get our hands on, so we got like tiny wee carrots and tiny wee parsnips, and nothing really kind of went. But that was probably largely through lack of stick-to-itiveness. We got some nice beans, actually. We did some runner beans, which seemed to come up pretty easily. But, yeah, I think for me, it's just pure laziness. I don't have a better excuse. I'd love to come up with a better excuse. It's just laziness. You come home at the end of the day and you go, I should really go out and feed the plants and water them and check that everything's okay and remove all that. No.
I suppose the alternate question, Rob, and obviously most people I interview would be gardening related of some format or other. You're not. The question, I suppose, on the other side is, have you been influenced in the last couple of years by, you might say, the grow your own or know your own, at least, and where it's grown pandemic? And has that changed the way you shop?
Definitely. My partner, who she was very, very enthusiastic about sourcing locally produced vegetables, for example. So she insists we go to a farmer's market once a week. And we used to shop in the very, very great Supernatural food market. I don't know if you know Supernatural food market down on Pier Street. It's really, really good. They have, I think he's a Wicklow-based farmer who's been selling in that hall on Pier Street in St. Andrew's Resource Centre for years and years and years. I think it's for like 20 years. And their stuff is just fantastic. And it's not that much more expensive than, say, Tesco, for example. But the difference is just stunning. I mean, it was kind of a necessity for us because she's a vegetarian and I'm not. My initial fear was, oh no, vegetarian food, it's going to be very bland and boring. But the difference when you use well-grown, well-sourced veg is just, it's like a completely different meal, you know.
Quick fire round. Would you buy dirty potatoes in a supermarket or potatoes with muck still on them?
Yes, I would.
Yes, I would.
Would you buy potatoes that were odd in shape in a supermarket?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Would you buy turnips that were split or looked like they had a chop in them or were oddball sized in the supermarket?
Yeah, of course.
The chop would probably make me stop and think, but yeah, ultimately, yeah.
Forked carrots, you've grown these, Rob, so you'll know what they look like. But carrots that have forked or that aren't, I suppose, ideally straight, would you buy them?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really reassuring about a vegetable that looks natural, that looks like it's grown. I mean, sometimes it's the opposite, that you'd be slower to buy stuff because it looks too perfect, you know, like peppers or, you know, like you always see the pepper left in the box. That's two colours. People always want the pure red one or the pure green one. And they're like, oh, it's two colours. Oh, I don't know about that. Whereas I'd be the complete opposite. If it looks natural, then I'd be happier buying it. Be happier spending money. Ooh,
The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
On Twitter, #SodShow, text us 087-977-1032. Lucy Bell talking to Peter Donegan, and her book is called...
Oh, it's The Year-Round Organic School Garden is the book. And also a note of thanks to Rob from the Loft Bookshop for the use of his premises, and lovely chatting with him as well. Two quick notes, Brian, before we head towards some song of the week. I will be doing a talk on Monday the 28th of November, kicking off at about 8 p.m. It's at the parish of Our Ladies Parish Centre in Castleknock, Dublin 15, just off Auburn Avenue. It will be on soils and aspects. And also this Sunday, the 26th of November at 2 p.m. from Ballybottle, the Hedgegrow Society is doing a walk through the lands of Grace Jew. Children are welcome. They're looking for a donation of €2. You'll get that and more on the blog, blog.donneganlandscaping.com.
You remind me that Met Erin said during the week that soil temperatures are 4 degrees above average for the month of November.
Continuing my grass to grow whilst I can't get to cut it because it's also too wet.
Indeed. Let's move swiftly to Song of the Week. And in keeping with today's interview and a book for school children on organic growing and stuff, this is very interesting. If you're a school teacher and you're in your car and you're going home for the day, this song is for your attention only. It's Harry Chapin and Flowers Are Red.
The little boy went first day of school. He got some crayons and he started to draw. He put colors all over the paper, for colors was what he saw. And the teacher said, what you doing, young man? I'm painting flowers, he said. She said, it's not the time for art, young man.
And anyway, flowers are green and red. They're the time for everything, young man, and the way it should be done. You've got to show concern for everyone else, for you're not the only one. And she said, flowers are red, young man, and green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen. But the little boy said, there are so many colors in the rainbow, so many colors in the morning sun, so many colors in a flower, and I see everyone. The teacher said, you're sassy, there's ways that things should be, and you'll paint flowers the way they are, so repeat after me. And she said, flowers are red, young man, and green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen. But the little boy said, there are so many colors in the rainbow, so many colors in the morning sun, so many colors in the flower, and I see everyone. The teacher put him in a corner. She said, it's for your own good, and you won't come out till you get it right and are responding like you should. Well, finally he got lonely, frightened thoughts filled his head, and he went up to the teacher, and this is what he said. And he said, flowers are red, and green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen. Time went by like it always does, and they moved to another town, and the little boy went another school, and this is what he found. The teacher there was smiling. She said, painting should be fun, and there are so many colors in a flower, so let's use every one. But that little boy painted flowers in neat rows of green and red, and when the teacher asked him why, this is what he said. And he said, flowers are red, and green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen.
The Sod Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM, and I have to agree with Heather, our producer today. That has to be the worst song choice I have ever heard in life.
No, there was one worse than that you cut. Remember that one?
Which one was that, Brian?
I don't know. I was about growing vegetables. It was by the Beach Boys, I think.
Folks, if you want to tell Brian how bad you think that song was, hashtag at Sod Show, send us a note on Twitter, please.
I stand over it.
Well, I know, yeah. Yeah, that was like the card that I got one day when I got married, and it was from a friend of mine who said, never buy a bed off such and such. He says he stands over everything he sells. There's a joke in there somewhere. Back to gardening matters. On Tuesday this coming, the class of Educate Together in Balbriggan will be presented with their certificates, their Growing Green certificates. It was a programme I did in association with Fingal Libraries. Dan's fifth class has a blog that is well worthwhile checking out. I'll throw the link up on I'll throw it. Sorry, it's Dan's Fifth with the number 5, thclass.wordpress.com. Highly recommend you go check it out and see just what a class community blog does. Some green stuff in there as well, which is worth a look. Interesting to see how they're doing. But one of the things of note that came up was how to grow your own trees. There is, I think it's fair to say, a bit of an emphasis on growing your own vegetables. I like to have the balance in nature, one for the bird, one for the Peter. And in this one, it was the how to grow your own trees via hardwood cuttings. Would be an exercise, I suppose, that if you did it with one or two of the kids, might take you about 10 minutes. If you wanted to stretch it out to a half an hour, I mean, there'd probably be a packed lunch there somewhere. Very easily done and very simply done. An instructional video up there on the blog, well worth a look at, particularly if you're heading out on the Hedgerow Walk this Sunday in Ballybohol. Preferably, folks, if you are doing it, though, I do recommend you pick something of the native Irish variety. And again, there's a list of those up on the blog as well. Tree straps, tree cares, winter tree care. There's a few notes up on there as well on the blog. One of the photographs I put up was the bulging tree trying to burst over. I call it beer belly syndrome, where it kind of packs out over the top. Not healthy at all for the tree. And again, I have that up on the blog. And I suppose this week, midweek, what I was doing, one of the exercises in the garden was moving some of my own trees. If you couldn't do it last year because the soil was frozen, as I found to my delight, this year I have to say it's a little bit easier to do so. And we should bear in mind, 3 days ago this time last year, the snow had actually started to come down in Ireland, Brian.
It had. It's the 25th of November. That means this time next month, this time of the day, you'll have watched the speech by the Queen and you'll be tucking into your dinner. And what I meant to really say was, between then and now, we will be covering some presents that you might consider buying for your loved ones. And we'll be doing it from three different locations, from the Science Gallery.
Science Gallery is one, yeah.
And we're going to be doing it from the camping shop.
Oh, with Aaron in Millets in Mary Street, yes, Gellert store.
And there was another location. Well, the Christmas tree thing, that's what we're going to get into.
Yeah, with Finbar. On a note, by the way, for those who, on the mention of Gellert, I should add, myself and Brian has agreed to do an overnight camp in the hills of Wicklow, somewhere between now and middle of December, I'm sorry. So it's myself, Bear Grylls on the far side of the microphone from me, who's only ever been camping once before, and Aaron Scantlebury, and that's what we're going to do. No tents, no food, no alcoholic beverages, no tin openers, no microwaves, up into the hills of Wicklow and overnight it for two nights and survive based on the wilds. We're going to bring the recording equipment with us, and we'll let you know how we get on from there. But until next week.
There's a huge drama in me saying yes, but it hasn't been played out on air. We'll get to that next week, maybe. It's another show. It's over.
Listen, folks, whatever you do in the great outdoors, do let us know. Hashtag it's such show. Stay in touch. Have a great weekend. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Out your hand to make it through.